Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Monique. Welcome to the podcast, or welcome back. This is the Brown Vegan Podcast, episode 195. And with this show, I love to present veganism from a practical perspective to help everyday people go vegan in a way that feels good to them. I also love to share overall wellness topics and vegan entrepreneurship topics because this is so much more than food. It truly is a lifestyle. Be sure to come hang out with me on Instagram and YouTube. I'm Brown Vegan on both of those platforms. And speaking of YouTube, I just released a new video this week. It is a delicious family dinner recipe that's on the channel. So go over and check that out and let me know what you think once you make the recipe. So today on the show, I have Janae from Rooted Delights. She was the first one to offer oat milk vegan cheese, and her goal is to help transition so many people to plant-based living and healthy lifestyle choices that your whole family will love. In our conversation, we chat about some of her self-care practices that allows her to stay calm and focused. We talk about her having a new baby. We also chat about why the dairy industry exploits animals and people, and why it isn't necessary for us. We've been brainwashed to think dairy is something that's an essential, but it really isn't. Also, we talk about ways to replace dairy with delicious vegan options, how and why she started her cheese brand, and why she had to pivot during some hard times as far as shipping, and also the ins and outs of shipping physical products that are perishable, how that can be a struggle for a lot of people. And some tips on how to make it happen, and also how she was able to pivot her brand to digital products and digital offerings, which has been so much better for her overhead. And not only that, but just an easier way for her to show up consistently instead of, you know, all of the ins and outs that goes with shipping physical products. Finally, we talked about how entrepreneurship has changed her life for the better. Of course, you can get all of the show notes and everything we mentioned in this episode at brownvegan.com under episode 195. So yes, without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into the conversation. How are you doing? We're going to start over again. Like, how have you been doing and how are you doing now?
I am doing good. I finally feel like I'm in a good space. And I know me and you touched briefly about me being a new mother. So just trying to find the balance again and trying to find things that I love again and relearning myself again. So I feel like I'm finally in a space where I feel good. I just feel really good. I got great support around me. You know, the business is flowing. You know, I'm taking time for self-care, which is something that I feel like I've neglected, you know, with, you know, because of the business or being a new mother or, you know, maintaining my home. So finally, I'm in a good balance. That's what I would say. I'm in a good balance.
That is good. That is good. Because I mean, I feel like we kind of talked about this a little bit ago about how sometimes people will ask us how we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we don't necessarily give them the real answer because we think that people don't necessarily care.
Come on.
Yep. Or they don't have the, you know, you don't want to dump on people too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad that you are in a good space because I know having a baby just like changes everything.
Everything. Really, especially on top of the first baby and on top of like running a business and, you know, making sure your home is good. So it's a lot at once, but it's so important to have the right people around you to help, you know, to help you stay balanced and help you stay focused.
So what do you do for self-care?
Self-care. Oh, I got a few things for self-care. I try at least twice a week. I try to do my baths. So that's my me time where I love the group Beautiful Course, if anyone's ever not heard of them. But they do like self-love mantras. They have albums on music. So I'll put that on and I'll hear some, you know, self-love mantras. Have my candles lit. You know, I'll be in the bathroom for a good 45 minutes to an hour and just soak and rest and, you know, and release, you know, not take the time to not think about work and motherhood and all those things. You know, I have that me time where I focus on my breathing and, you know, things that I want to work on with self. So that's definitely one of my top self-cares. I also like being in nature. So I live in an area where my backyard is trees and I have a little pond. So I kind of just go out there and listen to the birds, you know, and just take it all in, you know, meditate. I may do some stretching, some yoga. Now that I will say, I don't do that every day, you know, because things happen, things come up, but I try to at least maintain it where I do it at least 2-3 times a week. You know, even if it's for 10 minutes, you know, if I need to just run out there, if I only have 5 minutes just to have that time for myself, you know?
Yeah, that's important. I'm jealous. You have a pond in the back?
Yeah, I got a little pond, girl. Yes.
I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you for any water, a pond, a petal.
I know what you meant.
Thank you for a river. Thank you for an ocean. The water is just that alone. It's so therapeutic.
Yes.
It's so underrated. I love it so much.
Love the beach, right? Don't you? Like, it's just, I want to live on a beach. Like, that's my goal, is to just walk outside and, like, be near water. Like, come on.
Man, it's incredible. Right? I miss it because I actually used to live by a river. It was like walking distance. And I loved it because it was like my relief. Like, I felt like a treat at the end of my little jog was that river. And I was like, oh, breathtaking.
Something about water. I know. Something with that body in the water.
Yes. So you have to tell us, why did you decide to become a vegan?
Oh, that's a good question. So me and someone I was close with at the time, we decided to do a challenge. We said we're going to go 3 weeks of no meat. I'm so like, okay, we can do it. And now this is meat eaters. We ate meat for breakfast. We ate bacon and burgers and like sausages, like love meat. But we said, all right, we're going to challenge ourselves 3 weeks, no meat. And it's interesting. Initially it was a little hard, but by week 2, I was convinced. I used to have some acne on my forehead. That was it. My was it your T-zone, I guess? I used to break out a lot there. But after week 2, acne gone. You know, my skin got brighter. You know, I had more energy. I had more positive thoughts, to be honest. You know, like, it's spiritual things in that aspect. My thoughts were better, you know? So after that, and after week 3, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to go back. Like, and my friend at the time, the person I did the challenge with, they were like, you know, I'm going back to meat. I was like, all right, bet. But I feel amazing. And it was the best. I lost like 7-10 pounds, you know, I just felt good, you know? And so after that, the rest was history. I was like, yeah, I'm good. Like, let me just find some alternatives. You know, I didn't like mushrooms at the time, but I was like, okay, let me learn how to cook with tofu, like different meat alternatives to give me, you know, that taste that I was missing without, you know, the meat. The rest was history. And that was like, dang, shit, this is 2022. Dang, that was like maybe 8 years ago. Yeah.
Nice.
8 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy how that happens. You know, lately I keep hearing people talk about how challenges help them become vegan. It makes me want to do some type of challenge to help people.
Oh, yes.
Because like having that accountability and everything, that makes such a difference.
You should do that. That'll be on. I would love to join. I would love to join. Please let me know. Like, I'm holding you accountable. When you doing it?
Okay, because look, I'm really thinking about it, man. I'm telling you, I have this all the time. So I'm thinking, okay, let's talk about this, because you became a vegan from a challenge, and I did not. I just went ahead and did it by myself. I didn't have any type of
support.
I didn't have friends, any type of support.
Man, that's hard.
So
and you did it.
Talk about what made the difference for you. That I know that accountability helped, but what else? Because I feel like it might be overwhelming for some people. I'm thinking I'll give them recipes. I'll give them a couple of videos. But what do you think? What helped you?
What helped me, accountability partner, going places where they actually had options. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, if you're plant-based, vegan, whatever, you know, if you go places and they don't have vegan food, you're going to be more, you're going to feel like, well, damn, I might as well just eat the damn burger because I ain't got nothing else to eat. You know, but if you go places where they have a bean burger or they have, you know, a vegan hot dog or whatever you like, make sure they have something there that you can eat. And that, I feel like that's also a part of your accountability. It's like, you got an option, you know, which one you going to do, you know? And of course, initially it's not easy, but like having people to back you and going to places where you have those vegan options, like those things make a huge, huge difference. And then tell people, like, tell your, like, you don't have to be that obnoxious vegan person who's like, you know, I'm vegan. You know, it's like, you don't have to be that person, but like, tell the people that you're with. If you're going out, like, you know, I'm trying to go more plant-based or vegan, like hold me accountable. You know what I'm saying? Like those things make a huge difference, you know, in my experience at least.
Yeah. So were you somebody that always cooked, or did you just have to kind of fall into it because of this lifestyle change?
Used to be in the kitchen, you know, like with my mom occasionally and watch her cook certain things. But for the most part, I didn't really say I would grow up like in a kitchen environment. It's interesting. So when we started Rooted Delights, we were a food truck. And that was like in 2016 in Baltimore, Maryland. A lot of people don't know that. We didn't do it too long, but, you know, we did that for about a year. And it forced me to get in the kitchen because this is when I first really was like, okay, I wanted to share vegan food with the world. Like, or change the perception of what vegan food is. So it forced me to get in the kitchen and play with different recipes and, you know, play with different sauces. And it's interesting. Like, so that's kind of what got me to the point of even getting in the kitchen and learning how to cook for the masses or for, you know, a group of people.
Yeah. Cause it's like when you find that secret for yourself, you feel like you found the secret. Did you feel like that? Cause I know I did. It's like, I gotta share this because we go into it and we don't really think that it's going to be many options. We think it's going to be boring, tasteless.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, I gotta share this with everybody. So I get it.
That's right. And then you find certain like ingredients. Like I remember when I found liquid smoke, and that was a wrap for me. I was like, yo, because I used to love collard greens. But I'm like, how do I make collard greens? You know, and I think of all the Black foods that we grow up eating, you know, your collard green, your mac and cheese. I'm like, how do we make it taste good? And I remember when I found liquid smoke, it was a wrap. I was like, yo, this tastes just like if I put bacon, you know what I'm saying, in my greens. And it's like, it was like a cheat code. And I remember when I found out, I had to tell everybody. I had to tell people who weren't even vegan. I'm like, did you know you can use liquor smoke in place of a bacon in your green and your collard greens? You know, so it's just like you said, those little, I call them like cheat codes, you know, secrets that you had to get out.
Before it's all said. Yeah. So you got to tell us too, like, because I know you have a cheese brand and I know it's not for sale at this moment. We'll get into that. But what made you decide, like, what do you want to share about the dairy industry? Because and the importance of incorporating more better options. Because somebody just this morning said to me, they were like, I want to be vegan, but cheese is the thing. It's the reason I won't. But I feel like that's so dated. Like these days, cheese is good, including your cheese.
Good. Exactly.
So talk about the dairy industry, whatever you want to share about that, and ways that people can incorporate vegan options instead of relying on dairy, because we don't need it.
You don't need it. You're right. We don't. Like, and if you think of the science behind the dairy industry and how they're one of the largest businesses in the world, you know, not the states, but everywhere. The dairy industry is, I mean, it's like a mafia, you know, they control everything, you know, so for me, it's like, I'm big on like a marketing and watching the market and seeing what's being advertised. And, you know, so I knew at then when, you know, you watch a commercial and they got, you know, Pizza Hut commercial, for instance, and they're showing the cheese stretch or, you know, they're promoting. Remember back in the day with the commercials with the Got Milk and it would be the celebrity drinking the milk. You remember that commercial saying like you need
to
milk? So I remember when I think back of those days and or even now and watching TV and seeing how they market certain things. I'm like, they push dairy like a motherfucker. And I'm like, why do they push dairy so much? You know, just as a critical thinker. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe we don't need dairy as much as we think. Like, what does dairy do to the body? Like, for me, I'm more of I'm a logical or critical thinker. So I like to say, I sit back and kind of observe, and then I kind of research it. Like, where, you know, what is the intention of this? So I feel like with the dairy industry, it's pushed so heavy, but it's a reason, and it's not a reason for our benefit. You know, it's a reason to, you know, potentially keep us sick or keep whatever the case, you know, if you do your research on the dairy industry. But like right now with the market of vegan cheeses and the alternatives, and you can make your own at home, or, you know, there's so many good brands out there to have similar cheeses that we grew up eating. And it's like, I feel like we have so many choices now that really, I'm not going to say be an excuse, but like you said, like maybe a few years ago, like when I started making the vegan cheese, we didn't have, it was nothing. It was like Daiya and that was it. There was nothing else on the market. And you think that was just what, four or five years ago. And you see now how they have all Brie cheese and provolone and feta. I just got some feta vegan cheese the other day. Gouda. Yeah. They got every hard cheeses, soft cheeses, fermented cheeses, you know, so always tell people to, even if you have a favorite vegan cheese, you know, like a Brie or, you know, a Gouda. I think someone told me it's like a vegan Munster cheese now. Like, go.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? As in, I think they just came out in New York. I tell people, go and try it. Of course, don't have expectations. It's not going to taste just like dairy, but like, you know, you can sauce it up a little bit, add a couple ingredients in there, you know, make it your own. But like, it's just the market has opened so much with the alternatives, healthy alternatives for us. So we don't need dairy. And as humans, we're not supposed to technically be consuming, you know, milk from another mammal, you know? So if you know, I always tell people, just don't take my word for it. Research and look into it yourself, you know, and you'll see that we do not need these products that have been marketed to us on a massive scale. We don't.
Absolutely. Know? It's huge business. Oh, my goodness. Huge. And just like the exploitation as far as not only the animals, but just the people who work for these companies, this devastation to our environment. Mm-hmm. There's so many reasons why we don't need dairy. And like you said, there's so many good options out there. Mm-hmm. And another thing too, I feel like with vegan cheese, if you come across a brand and you do not like it, please believe there's like six other ones to try.
That's it.
You know, don't give up so easily.
And people do. They said, this cheese ain't it. That's no, this vegan. Dang, just give it a chance. You know, they're all different. You know, so that's a good point you make. Because I think people stop at trying one. They'll try one and they're like, I can't do this vegan thing. I don't know how you do it.
Right. But because it's wild because back in the day, like you said, we didn't have any choices. So you were really, if you didn't like that one, you really were stopping at one. But now it's not like that.
It's so different now. I love it. I mean, I love it. It's just so many options now that's more accessible to all types of, especially melanated brown people. Like we, you know, a lot of us, you know, we live in desert areas where we don't have access to vegan foods. But I feel like even I'll go into some of those areas into the grocery stores, or I went to a restaurant and they had a black bean burger and it was kind of like a hole in the wall, but it was like the best black bean burger I've ever had, you know? Mm. It's like, I gotta go back. Like, me and my sister-in-law was like, yo, this hole in the wall got the best vegan food. And I'm sure they don't have many vegan customers. Like, it was that good. So yeah, it's definitely the market's definitely changing.
Good. Yes, I love it. Like, I went to a grocery store that was like kind of in an area that's probably, you know, it's not a food desert, but it wasn't, you know, as accessible and good stuff that it were in there. And I went in there and I was so surprised when I went to the frozen food section. I was like, they have all of this vegan stuff that I would not expect to be here.
Yes. So that was pretty dope. Yes, I'm here for it.
So what made you decide to go in the cheese direction? Is it because, like we talked about, there were no options really and you wanted to be an option for people? So is that why you decided?
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, even for me, like, it's interesting. So when I started, it was just mainly making cheeses for myself. Like I wanted to, when I initially started making cheeses at home, it was, you know, cashew bases, which I love a cashew based cheese, but a couple of people that were close to me had allergens to it. So what I would do, I said, well, let me just play around with like oats, you know, and some red peppers and some sweet potatoes, like things that are full of flavor. And I remember just making this cheese sauce and like just me and my immediate family and friends tearing it up. And they're like, yo, you can sell this. And I'm like, ain't nobody gonna buy no vegan cheese, like especially our people, you know, that's my initial mentality. But I was like, you know, they kind of pushed me to do it. And then it started out for like something for me, but then we started doing these case studies. That's how we kind of got started with the vegan cheese. So what we did was we contacted some people locally that we knew, like 20, 30 people, and we had them come and taste different cheeses that we had made and get their opinion. And they filled out a sheet and they would tell us yay or nay, or I like this, I don't really like this flavor, I don't like this, you know, compared with this. And we kind of just took those results and came up with the vegan cheddar cheese. And all of both the cheeses that we had on the market were both dairy-free, of course, soy-free, gluten-free and nut-free, you know, which we felt was a good point for people who, because so many people have allergens, you know, either gluten or soy or, but we wanted to make sure we had a product that was accessible to everybody. You know, you couldn't really, we didn't want to give you a reason to not be able to try the cheese because you can't have nuts or you can't have soy or whatever the case was. So yeah, that kind of took off from there. Like, and it kind of took off fast. Like, I remember like when it got out to the public, we were like, oh my God, what do we do? Like, this is kind of taking off, you know? So it took a lot of us like kind of regrouping and saying, okay, what are we doing here? Like, how are we going to market and get this product out to people?
Yeah. And I enjoyed the cheddar. That's the one I tried. I know you sent me like a care package with different ones, but so far the cheddar one was the one I tried. And I did it with nachos, not nachos, tacos. I like melted it a little bit and it was good. It was really good. Look at you though, Janae. You were on an oat trend before oats was a thing.
You know, let me tell you something, girl. Like, so we were the first vegan cheese to hit the market made of oats. I'm telling you, we kind of paved that way. And it's interesting because when we had our product out with the oat milk cheese, about a year later, we started seeing other brands. And we're like, wait a minute. You know, like, oh, shoot, this one, we kind of created a thing here.
Yeah.
You know? So it was cool to kind of pave our, you know, mark our way in the food industry, especially in the vegan food industry with oats. And you think oats now, I'm like, oh my God, I love oats. Like, we make oat milk all the time at home. All the time. It's just a good staple. And it's a good dairy replacement. I tell people too, like, even if you're at home and you know, you like, you know, cow's milk, but you want a nice alternative, I always kind of tell people either soy milk or oat milk, and the oat milk, because it's just so creamy and thick. Yeah. Right. And then you can kind of manipulate the taste. Like, I'll add a little like date syrup or maple syrup or some vanilla extract in it. And then you got a whole milk. Like, you over here making milk now. You ain't got to buy it no more.
Yeah. That's a great thing. You had to tell us though, because I know COVID like shifted everything for you. And I know that's the case for a lot of people. You were doing your thing, shipping orders before COVID. So tell us like what happened during that time that made you pivot.
Before COVID hit, we were shipping about 40 to 50 orders out a week, just around the States to people at their homes. And the way we shipped it, we guaranteed shipping in 2 days. But when COVID hit, we had about 40 orders sitting at the post office and for like a week, you know, and a lot of people, right. And you think our product is a perishable, like you got to stay refrigerated, or it has to be refrigerated in a timely manner. So by the time all these customers got the cheese, it was all molded. Everything was molded. And I was just devastated. I was like, oh, our brand. Oh my God, this is don't look good. You know, I was just going through like a crisis. And I'm like, okay, what do we do? And then we tried again. So we reimbursed everybody. We sent everybody cheese again, and it happened again. And we're like, okay, we can't keep doing this. Like, we're going to have
money, right?
Money, a lot of it. You know, we had to reimburse people for the product, for shipping. We had to, you know, use our commercial kitchen to remake everything, create labels. It was a lot. And so like when it just kept happening over and over again, me and my partner were like, okay, how are we going to pivot this business? Because, you know, people love the cheese and we want to get them access to the cheese, but we obviously can't. Like, it's out of our control, you know. And at the time, we're still serving local restaurants, which is cool. But we had so many inquiries from people outside of Richmond, Virginia, who wanted the product. So like we said, okay, it's time to pivot. So I remember we kind of told everyone we're taking some, you know, time off from shipping products. And also we vend vegan nachos locally too. So we would tell them, you can come check us out and get our nachos. But at the time, we have to put a pause on, you know, our cheese orders. So at that time, it gave us a good space to figure, okay, how can we still get this product out to people, but obviously we can't ship it. So we went back to how I initially started the brand. I got back in the kitchen and started playing with different cheeses, and you know, and I came up with some cheddar sauces and some Alfredo sauces and some queso sauces. And I'm like, okay, we can get this out to people like via cookbooks, you know? So, and I wanted to make it easy for people to make. I didn't want to overcomplicate it, because I know that's also the reason why people purchase product, is because they want something quick and convenient. So I'm like, well, how can we quickly and conveniently and healthy and in a healthy manner get it out to the public? So we did that. We took about a couple months. Yeah, we took a couple months off, because that was around the time, you know, had the baby and just, you know, everything shifted in that space. So yeah, we came up with cookbooks, and we figured out a way to digitally move the brand from selling food, but digitally selling cookbooks and webinars and DIY videos. And you know, we're starting back our virtual cooking classes again, you know, so just a way to get people reach people in a digital world versus physically, you know, which
God,
it was fun, but you
less
know,
overhead. Less overhead.
Oh my gosh. It's interesting because people don't know what it takes to run a business. And I know I love talking to you because you get it. You know, you can relate. Like, it's a lot that goes into running a business, a lot, you know, especially what we found selling a product. Oh my gosh, it was insane. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, like the overhead, we had to rent a kitchen to make the product. You know, we had to purchase labels, which were expensive. They're waterproof labels. It's a lot to consider, you know, the product itself, keeping it cold when it gets to the consumer. You know, it was just so much to that went into it. So, you know, I look at everything as like blessings in disguises, you know, like, you know, at first it was hard to accept the pivot because we created this brand around vegan cheese. But I'm like, okay, it's okay to pivot. And that's like one of the lessons that I feel like I've learned so much about just being an entrepreneur. You know, sometimes it takes pivoting your entire business, but, you know, do it in a way where, you know, your consumers still get your product and you can still get decent feedback from them on things that may need to be changed or updated. So yeah, it was a lot, but I say it was worth it. I look back now and I'm like, no regret at all.
Yeah. I always wonder, like, and I'm sure it's costs, so mm-hmm. I'm going to answer my own question, but mm-hmm. why is it that a lot of people who have perishable products mm-hmm. choose the post office? Because I feel like they're the least reliable out of everybody.
Yes, they are. But they're the cheapest too. Like, because we try to ship through. So there's different methods. You can work with the distribution company. So they kind of act as the middleman. And that's actually the route we were initially going to take, was hiring a company to hire a refrigerator truck to deliver the product to people or to restaurants or grocery stores. But the overhead is crazy. Like, oh my gosh. I mean, they literally take like 60% of your money. Ooh, yeah. It's crazy. And I mean, and that's just for distribution. That's just to get the product from you there. To there, yeah. Right? It's just so much. So we're like, all right, that ain't gonna work. Like, and so and that's dead. But then the post office was the most convenient because they offer pre-COVID 2-day guarantee shipping. So that worked for us in our business model at that time. You know, but
were you doing dry ice though? Because even putting an ice pack, that's not enough.
No.
What about dry ice? Is that really expensive too?
That's about double the cost of ice bags. Like, wow. Dry ice is more expensive, and then it's more of a hazard too. So then you, mm-hmm. it's more of a risk if, you know, if your customers get, what you call it, like on their hands, like when they touch the ice, that they get like, not freezer burn, but what is it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they
I know exactly what you're talking about. They always come with this. Every time I get a package, it always comes with like some warning on it. So I know what you're talking about.
Right. So it was just so much risk with that. And then the thing also with packaging is you have to offset that cost to the customer. And that was a huge issue that we ran into and we didn't like. Like, for instance, our cheese wheels were $7, but shipping had to be $15. Which is dope, you know, because I had to cover the box, the insulated box, the ice. It's just so much overhead with shipping perishable foods, you know. So and a lot of people don't know that the inside of that, you know. And it was a lot. It's a lot to get it out to people, especially foods that have to stay, you know, cold.
Right. So are you guys still doing local restaurants, or is it just at this point you're not doing the cheese?
So we still work with two local restaurants in Richmond, Virginia, where we make cheese just for those two, only because we use their, oh my God, one of the restaurants, I got to shout them out, Intergalactic Tacos. It's a food truck out here in Richmond, and their tacos and quesadillas, bomb, like so good. So we still give them cheese for their, you know, quesadillas and tacos. In exchange, they make these bomb ass chips. I mean, I would say, Monique, probably the best like chips, like corn chips I've ever had. They are the bomb. So we kind of keep that relationship, you know, so that we can make sure they can get the cheese and we can make sure we get them bomb ass chips. Aside from that, so no more cheese, just those two restaurants, the food truck and the restaurant. And right now we got the cookbooks, you know, showing uh-huh. people how to make the sauce and how to make a soft cheese. Very easy, simple to follow. Everything is 30 minutes or under to make. Like, nothing exceeds 30 minutes, which was a big deal for us.
So you guys are doing the nacho. Are you have any events that are coming up that you're going to be doing the nachos at? Because I know that's where the pivot came too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we actually have a few events coming up. So Richmond Veg Fest. They do an event every year and we vend. And so our vegan nachos are, it's our cheese. So you can still, so people can still experience the cheese, but we melted it down to a queso and it comes on the homemade chips. And then you get barbecue jackfruit that we slow roast and cook for about 5 hours. Mm. Yeah. And then we have a homemade pico. And, oh, I make this homemade sunflower sour cream. So it resembles like a sour cream, but it's made out of sunflower seeds for people who have nut allergies. Yeah, so black beans. So, you know, we kind of load it up. But, yeah, we do have a few events coming up. We do Richmond Veg Fest.
And when is it this year? Is it in September?
That is September 17th. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And then Soul Vegan Block Party is super lit. That is the week before. That's September 10th. Super lit. If y'all can make it out to Richmond, like they really do really good like vegan like festivals.
They're
really good. And Hampton is having an event. I just got an email from them yesterday inviting us back out. We did Hampton's 2 years ago, or I guess pre-COVID.
Yeah, it was pre-pandemic for sure. I am so, listen, Janae, I am so excited. Now, I know I probably will just be an attendee for, actually, no, let me speak this into the universe. I want to do more speaking. So,
Come on.
Yeah, I'll speak that out. But I am also excited the world is opening back up.
Me too. I'm like, I miss people. I miss networking, interaction, like genuine connections, like all that. Yes. I miss selling our product, right? But I would love to see you do speaking. You have the voice for it. Like, yes.
Thank you, Janae. Yes. I would love to connect with you because I keep forgetting you're in Richmond. We have to go to lunch or something. We got to do something.
Please, please. So we can talk all things. Like, I would love look, everything. Look, everything. I would love that. Like, I mean, because we got, like, so we got a few events this year that we've been at. Like, if I can even connect you with some of the people I know throwing the events so we can get you speaking at some of these events. Like,
gotta do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. I feel like I'm not ready, but I'll never feel ready. So I'm just going to go in and just go with it.
You got the voice. You got it. You got
Thank
it.
You.
Got the content, you got the voice. Like, you know how to draw people in. You have good conversation. Like, man, what? People need this voice.
Thank you, Thank you so much. Oh, okay, yeah. So what are some of the things, because I want to make it positive and mm-hmm. I want to just like kind of warn people. So mm-hmm. what are some of the things that you really enjoy about being an entrepreneur? Like, what are the things that just light you up?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I would say the freedom to spend time with my partner and our son. I would say back to the freedom as far as being able to do that self-care and take times, because there's days sometimes where I don't feel like doing shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to tell somebody. I can't come into work. I don't have to. I can take that time to say, you know what? I need a day. I need a mental day. I need a rest day. I need any type of day. And I'm fortunate for entrepreneurship to give me the space to have those days. So I definitely say freedom. Oh, yeah. And resting. I guess that goes hand in hand with the freedom part. But, you know, as people, we don't get enough rest in this rat race world we live in. So entrepreneurship definitely gives me the space to do that. And just learning new things. You know what I'm saying? Having the space to learn new things. And that's what I love about entrepreneurship. That's one of my tops. Like, I can learn, I can get in the kitchen and learn new things about vegan foods, but then I can turn around and learn something about contract law, which was a big thing for us when we got into this business. Being offered different contracts, knowing how to read them, knowing how to process them, you know, knowing how to understand these words that we really weren't taught as brown people, you know, and especially in business, you know. So just learning different avenues of life and not just my field of making vegan cheese, which has been great, but entrepreneurship has opened the door to create so much more and take me out of my comfort zone. Like, I used to be like so nervous to speak to people and in public. Oh my God. Like,
really? I don't get that from you at all. That's amazing that you went ahead and
Woo, it was bad. Like, I mean, I would need to just, it was bad. So like, and now I feel like entrepreneurship has forced me to have to be in front of people, forced me to have to talk about my products or talk about veganism or talk about life, just life shit, you know, it's mm-hmm. me in that place. So yeah, those are definitely, I would say those are the ups of entrepreneurship for sure. For sure.
So what are some things that you would like advice, I guess, that you would recommend for people who with some of the things mm-hmm. they need to consider? And this is like, of course, like a perishable business, mm-hmm. doing eBooks, cooking demos, whatever you want to share that people should think about.
That's a good one. I would say, just to get off that track of those things, but what entrepreneurship, something to learn is delegation. Like, right? Like that is like when you start a business and you start it from the ground up, if you're the creator or the co-creator, whatever, you hold on to those, to those titles. You hold on to wanting to do everything. You hold on to perfection. And like, that can be your downfall in entrepreneurship, you know, cause you'll get burnt out quick. You know what I'm saying? Like,
don't I know?
Right, right. Oh my gosh, been there, done that a few times, and had to get back up. Like,
right.
You know, trying to hold every title and responsibility, and that is draining. So, like, learning how to delegate. Like, we got a virtual assistant, and she has been amazing as far as delegation, but also learning to trust people. You know what I'm saying? In this business field, like. Okay, yeah. I gotta let go of this title. I gotta let go of we needed to watch everything and micromanage everything. And I gotta trust you now. So, woo, delegation. Woo, that's top one right there.
That is a very, very good tip, because I think that I had to learn that lesson the hard way for myself. And I was nervous to delegate because of the expense. But
yes, that part.
And that held me back for a long time too. But I'm telling you, like, the way I feel these days, I feel so much more creative. And I'm just like having so much more fun now that I'm not doing everything. Because I was legit doing everything. Yeah. Like, it was so crazy. When my assistant started helping me, she was like, You were doing this?
Like, why are you doing this? Why are you still doing drowning? This?
Because I was drowning, that's how.
And feeling like you were on autopilot, right? Did you feel like that some days?
Absolutely. Right? And I just wasn't having fun. You know, I was trying to have fun, but it was hard because I was, like you said, drained.
Yes.
It was just like, oh, let me figure out how to make this work. So, I love that tip so much.
Oh, yeah. And even with... You know, if you do decide to make, you know, if anyone decides to make a perishable, I'm not saying stay away from it. I'm saying look at everything that goes into it, because it's a lot of moving pieces, you know. So it's good to network. It's good to form partnerships with people. You know, let's say you do have a perishable item you want to get out to people. Partner up with a local distribution company. You know, in a lot of cities, a lot of people don't know. You don't have to go to like the head honchos. It's like your U.S. Foods and you don't have to go through those large distribution companies. Find local ones, you know, and partner with them, you know, exchange something of equal value with them, so you don't have to pay all this overhead costs, you know. So there's definitely ways around it, but I always tell people, with any industry you get into, you know, if it's digital creator, being a digital creator, or creating a physical product, make sure you study your market. You know, study your competition in a sense, because you got to know what's out there, right? You got to know what you're up against. You got to know what you have to bring different to the table than someone else. You know, what makes you uniquely you, you know? So it's just it's so much studying and before you launch something, like, learn it, study it, wrap your head around it, and get some damn help.
Love it so much. Oh my God, Janae, this is such a pleasure. You have to tell us how we can support you as far as your cookbooks, virtual cooking classes, whatever you want us to do. Let us know how we can support you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so you can start off by following us on social media. Rooted Delights is our brand, and that's also our social media handler. And every second and last Wednesday of each month, we do what's called Get Rooted Wednesdays. Every Wednesday, or I guess what, two Wednesdays out the month. And we speak to other vegan business owners about business, the highs, the lows, the lessons, the blessings, you know, like all things business, entrepreneurship. So definitely check that out. You know, just, you can get more of a glimpse of me and some people that I'll have on there with me. Also, we do cookbooks, creating vegan cheeses at home, vegan condiments. Like, I know for me, oh my God, one of my favorite condiments was Polynesian sauce from Chick-fil-A. Like, I love it. So I was like, oh, I want to create a cookbook with just like bomb condiments, like sauces and you know, and things you can make at home in 5 minutes or less with ingredients you probably have in your kitchen, probably got in your fridge, stuffed in the back somewhere. So I'm like, so yeah, check us out for our cookbooks. We also offer plant-based consultations as well. Trying to veganize your kitchen, you know, have some, you know, if there's certain things you want to replace, but you know ain't vegan, but you need something similar, we got you with that. Yeah, we got DIY videos on how to make certain recipes, virtual cooking classes, hopefully things, when everything opens up, like completely is open up, we can get back to physical cooking classes, which we used to do that too. So we hope to get back into that. And yeah, just check us out. We always got something new going on. Oh, we vend, of course. We vend our loaded vegan nachos, which has become pretty popular in Virginia. So yeah, check us out. You can see when we're vending, different locations, and come pull up on us so we can vibe out, talk, network, and eat some good vegan food.
Yes. I look forward to meeting with you in person. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about that. Yeah.
This is awesome.
Thank you so much.
I can talk to you all day.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the show. If you're enjoying the podcast, be sure to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts to make it easy for others to find us. Also, tell a friend. Be sure to share the episode on your Instagram stories and tag Brown Vegan. Thank you so much for your support, and I'll talk to you next week.